Welcome to What is Going Om for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Last year, when most of us were in lockdown, a new trend swept through social media. People were raving about sound-oriented videos of other people doing various noise-making activities, like whispering, nail tapping, and food eating, that were eliciting strange and euphoric sensations of tingling that had a calming and relaxing effect on their minds and bodies. What was going on? The answer is ASMR, or autosensory meridian response. In seeking out those rewarding tingling sensations, those people were actually engaging in and benefiting from another trend called biohacking, which is rapidly taking center stage as a major focus in the future of our physical, emotional, and mental wellness. With me today to explain why biohacking is the hottest trend in health and wellness is Patrick K. Porter, PhD, an award-winning scientist, author, and speaker who's devoted his career to neuroscience and brainwave entrainment. Dr. Porter is the creator of BrainTap technology, which comprises digital tools and mind development apps, which use a biohacking technique to help physical and emotional health issues and relieve symptoms associated with stress, insomnia, pain, and much more. Dr. Patrick Porter, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Sandy. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. You've been sharing the science behind the ASMR and sound healing trend for some time now. Before we talk about sound and its role in biohacking and healing, can you explain what is happening in the body to cause those tingling ASMR sensations that so many people have been going crazy for?
Well, every cell of our body has something called chromophores, and we usually associate them with the absorption of light energy. But every cell is actually a sensory-based system. So we've all had the experience we're watching TV and somebody walks up behind us. We don't really hear or see them, but we feel them. It's because we have other sensations. It's like a spidey sense. They might call it like Spider-Man. But we all have that, but we've become numb because we're overstimulated. But then when we get these unique sounds, our brain takes in over 25,000 sounds every second and has to sort them out. So when we get something unique, the brain goes, wow, what is that? And it craves those kind of experiences because we're so inundated with just weird sounds all the time. But when we have something like, whether it's crinkling paper or eating or chewing and all these things that people do, the body has to try to interpret them. And that engages a part of our brain, which causes the default mode network to shut off for a brief moment, which gives us liberation, gives us that moment of, if you want to call it zen or whatever. And then we have that feeling. And that's when people get the chills. You know, they might get their hair stands up on the end, or they kind of get that feeling.
It's interesting because there's a huge trend amongst young children these days for these little rubber popping toys where they just sit and, you know, they play with them all the time. And it's like bubble wrap, you know, that they're popping. Mm-hmm. People just love that kind of thing. And I think
my grandson always says, this is so satisfying, Ram.
I was just going to say that. Yes, I asked my grandson, what do you like about it? And he said that very word, it's satisfying. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So tell me, why is biohacking suddenly attracting so much serious attention? I mean, the conference is now in its seventh year. You've presented research along with Arianna Huffington and many other notable biohackers. You know, what is it about biohacking that is suddenly surging to the forefront of medicine?
Well, I think that we've taken what used to be only in the research labs, and now people have it on their wrist. They can wear it on their head. You can actually monitor on a minute-by-minute basis or even second-by-second your blood sugar. I mean, you can measure your brain waves, you can measure your heart rate coherence. So now we know directly what we do to our body has an effect, and we can measure it. So we're not everyone, but there's a subset of people out there that say, wow, if I can measure it, I can improve it. And once you improve it, you can share that with other people.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, this is one of the sides of technology that's actually proving positive, that we're becoming very aware of our bodies and our ability to dictate what happens with them.
Right. Rashika Sikri, who was the head of Google Wellness, she said it best. She said, you know, the poison's in the phone, but also the solution. So, you know, we this digital lifestyle we live can be very negative, but what a lot of people don't know is that they're now also proving that we aren't, it's not a metaphysical concept anymore that we're light beings. We are photonic energy, and we actually broadcast that energy out into the world, and we can measure it now. So everything could be weighed and measured, it seems, and that's just showing us, hey, if you change your thoughts, you change your physiology, you change your diet, all of these things can have a drastic effect. But if you're not in touch with it, I think that's why going back to the SMR, the sensory based systems that we have, is that we crave that. And now for so many years, people have just said, well, I can put anything in my body and my body's broken. That's why I'm overweight, or that's why I have this issue, or that's why I have depression. But now we know, hey, maybe that depression comes from an imbalanced brain, or maybe that depression comes from eating too much sugar, you know, different things like that.
Yeah. You've devoted your career to researching the effects of sound and brainwave entrainment. What first drew you to this area of research?
Well, I was blessed to be the son of an alcoholic. You know, growing up Irish Catholic, the whole thing was on Friday night, you check out and check back in Monday morning for work, you know, and my dad finally got help. He became a meditation instructor. So I grew up meditating, and it took me from being an angry kid to being a 3-sport captain and getting a scholarship. And I just continued that journey. I actually created my very first recording of affirmations when I was 12 years old. So, I mean, it's been my life. And when I got a chance to start working with a company called Light and Sound Research, I jumped all over it, because it was like this was my hobby, and now I get to do it for a living. So it was just an extension of what my dad started when he got help with his alcoholism. And it did help him. He, as long as he meditated every day, and he changed his life, and he changed the lives of millions of people because he decided to de-stress and start to think positive.
Yeah, that must be very rewarding for you. I mean, to be able to do something that is so useful and helpful, and also such a fascinating area.
Yes, you know, I get up every morning and I'm filled with gratitude every day that I get to do what I love, and people are receptive to it.
Now, you say that digital medicine in the form of sound healing is quickly becoming a go-to solution for enriching patient care and treating symptoms of a number of conditions. I mean, anxiety, depression, insomnia, PTSD, dementia, autism, learning difficulties, etc. But sound healing, I mean, is something that, you know, it's been with us since the very beginning. Probably one of the oldest practices to be used for its effect on our mental, physical and emotional bodies. So can you give us a little beginner's guide to how sound healing works in the body?
Sure. First of all that this biohacking is really taking ancient traditions and turning them into modern science. So you can go back in time and find where all this started. So think about it for a moment. If we were out in the Serengeti or whatever, hunting and gathering, and we come back to the tribe, we might have a drum circle, you know, and so that got us outside of our sympathetic overload or sympathetic drive, because we were out there hunting and gathering. Maybe we ran across a tiger or a lion, and that stress response caused it. So we needed a way to disengage that nervous system. But what's happening now, especially with what's happening in 2020, is our nervous system gets locked in this sympathetic drive, which would be the fight or flight response. And most people don't realize that through breathing, we just published a paper with Ames Bhopal in India, where we did a Kriya breathing, and we showed that with Kriya breathing, you can change up to 19% of the parasympathetic system to downregulate sympathetics and upregulate parasympathetics just by breathing. So sound, we've already shown that too. Sound will do the same thing. It's almost like what happens is we live in a synchronistic universe, And when I have somebody who I'm talking to says, what do you mean by that? I said, well, just go to YouTube and put in synchronizing metronomes. And when you do that, you'll see that this guy starts 200 metronomes, and within 3 minutes, they're all synchronized. Well, all those problems you talked about when you asked this question, like learning and all these, from dementia to attention deficit disorder, we have found that they all have the same kind of symptoms in the body, which is a dysregulated brain. Typically, the left hemisphere is faster than the right hemisphere. What sound healing does, we take that information in, and the brain has to process it. Now, everyone thinks that when you think a thought, it just goes back to a filing cabinet and gets the information. But when we hear something, we start to engage up to 70% of our brain's function just to process that piece of information. So that's why if you listen to something new and different, that newness, that new difference, it actually is giving you a neurotransmitter uptake. So you might get more, if you're relaxed, you might get more GABA, you might get more acetylcholine. And that's typically what happens with music, like especially the relaxing, healing music. You're going to find that while you're in alpha, the brain instructs the gut, hey, go ahead and start making that acetylcholine, and you start to feel good. The other thing it does is our heart, they now know that not only does our heart transmit photic energy to other people, when somebody's meditating, they can have over 200 times more photic energy expand from their body than when somebody's in an argument. You know, so if we're at peace, they've actually proven we have this energy system that we broadcasted out. They call it biophotons now, if somebody wants to look that up. But this biophotonic energy that we have, when you're in music, everything works together in this universe. Everything is synchronicity. But we can cause stress to ourselves by all these disruptions. So sound is a way we can put coherency. I mean, if we go back in time 500 years ago to hear the music that we can just pick up our phone and play it anytime we want, you had to be royalty. You know, not everybody got to hear the symphony. But you have the choice today to pick up your smartphone and bring about healing just by listening to that music, because we know the body will work better with that. In fact, there's been a lot of research, like with Mozart, the Mozart effect, they call it,
yes,
that there's this music of our spheres. So there's a lot of healing that happens through music because the body wants to be in that rhythm, that cadence, that flow.
Yeah, I know people who have used that Mozart effect and used hemisync technology with kids with ADHD with great success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of times the issue is that they've been dysregulated by mostly the environment that they're living in. You know, when you think about what's in your environment, you know, the study of feng shui, which is the ancient art of placement, that has a lot to do with how our brain functions. You know, if you have they used to say a cluttered desk is a sign of a creative mind. No, what they've now shown is that, you know, the environment has to do with how you're creative. You know, you set up your environment to do that, and music plays a key part of that. So a lot of people, when they want to be creative or problem solve, if they put the right music, and movies are a great example. If you could think back to your favorite movies, those producers mix the music to make the mood. So music can set the emotional tone for your day. And in our life, I mean, living today, we can set that emotional tone when we get up in the morning, when we exercise, when we drive our automobile. We have a choice to choose the soundtrack to our life.
Yes, we certainly do. Now, there are different types of sound healing. Vibrational therapy is one. But one of the most popular is binaural beats, which is also known as brainwave entrainment or brain tapping. Tell us about binaural beats, isochronic tones, and phantom beats. What are they, and how do they affect the brain and cognition?
Okay, so our brain is always taking in information through our ears, and what we hear in one ear could be different than the other. And what they found, this is actually back in the 1800s, they found out if you put a certain sound in one ear, like let's say we're going to put 200 hertz frequency in one ear, we put 210 hertz frequency in the other, the brain doesn't hear the 200 or the 210. It actually only hears a phantom beat of 10 hertz. And the thing that is really amazing to everyone is what you're hearing in the world is you're doing this all the time. When you hear somebody's voice, that's why for you being in radio, you've heard your voice so much, that's probably the way it sounds in your head. But if you talk to somebody who's never recorded their voice and they play it back on a recording, they go, wow, I sound like that. That's weird, because the voice you have in your head isn't the same voice that other people are hearing until you hear it recorded and played back to you. So the brain, there's something that goes on in the brain. So in this binaural, what happens is the brain, in order to calculate that experience, it has to evaluate the vibration of that sound. So if you and I, Sandy, were flying into Earth and we were to look at Earth from a spaceship, the Earth would be resonating at a frequency of 0.01 to 100. And our brain actually does the same thing. It matches that frequency. They call it frequency following response. That's the science. And so your brain, let's say that we're on a mountaintop, when people see a guru meditating, they go, I want that. Well, the guru set themselves up for success because they're sitting in a field of energy that's 7.8 hertz frequency. That's a mountaintop experience. And that's the Schumann frequency, they call it, the Earth frequency. But if you're by a volcano, that frequency could be up to 100 when the volcano's going off. So in your brain will match that. That's why our body, our brain tells us, oh, that volcano's dangerous. We need to run. So we have this spidey sense again. This vibratory frequency tells our body what to do. And if you look at the statistics, 90% of people live driving distance to a body of water. Or walking distance for most people. And that's because water resonates at a frequency of 10 hertz frequency. That's alpha. So when you're there, we've all had the experience or know somebody that didn't want to go to the ocean with us or go to the lake. But then when they get there, they start relaxing. They go, this is so calming and relaxing. I can't believe I didn't want to come here. Well, what happened was the brain began to sink. That's called isochronic tones, because the planet itself is a big isochronic tone generator. It's a pulsating and vibrating with frequency and energy. They say if we could take the solid nature of all people on Earth today and put it into a thimble, I mean, we could fit it all into a thimble. So the rest is information, vibration, light, and sound. So we're seeing a world that's a phantom of itself, and we're making sense out of it through the vibratory frequencies of light, sound, and vibration.
Wow. Yeah. And what about when these phantom beats, I was reading something on your app, and it was saying that the phantom beat, is that the silence in the center?
What that is that's what your brain it's not the actual sound we're supplying, it's the interaction. So when you think about digital drugs, and that's what we're in a drug study right now in Brazil. The Brazilian government is doing a study to show that brain tap is a digital drug because we upregulate 54 different neurotransmitters. And the thing is, it's not the sound we're transmitting, it's how does the body reflect that sound? We're always a mirror to our environment, internally and externally, and it shows up in the brain as our environment. If we have a calming, relaxing environment, our brain sees it as a safe place and starts to create it downregulates that sympathetic system, so the cortisol lowers and the anxiety diminishes, depression goes away, and upregulates those, the acetylcholine, all the powerful GABA, and even the part of the brain, you need GABA to have. When people who meditate, they go, I don't really visualize, I don't do this. That's because we need the GABA to trigger the DMT receptors in our brain. You know, some people do DMT to get these experiences, like spiritual experiences, but they only get those because our brain has receptor sites. So we can create those on our own. And that's why I think digital medicine is where we're headed, because the medicine doesn't do anything to us. It's how does our body react to that medicine? So how do we react to our environment? And if we create a healthy, loving, caring environment, and we have open communication, and you were talking a little bit earlier, I think it was in the promo a little bit, where when we're in isolation and things of that nature, We are entities. We are humans without contact. Without contact, we don't have that cybernetic loop that we need to bring about the health and healing. That's why in prisons they eliminated isolation. So the worst thing that could have happened to the world was to put us in isolation.
For
mental wellness. We want connection. There are of course those people that love their alone time, but they still want to be loved, and they want to be a part of a community. They want to be a part of a connection of some kind of cause, whether good, bad, or indifferent. That's just the nature of the human existence.
Yes, I was reading a bit of science earlier today. A professor at the University of Essex, which is where I live in England, who's been doing research on this craze that everybody was, listening to the noises, etc., and the tappings. And she sa actually said that there is evidence to suggest that, in a sense, people are kind of reaching out to be stroked. They're reaching out for some kind of contact, as you mentioned. And, when the hairs are rising on the back of their neck or they're having tingling in their body, it's almost as good as being with somebody.
That's what we're finding. I mean, when you take somebody that has self-isolated, they'll start to, that's when people go, I'm going mad. I need to get out and do something. I mean, people use that expression, but the reality is that we do want to be out and about. We don't want to be sequestered. And I think that goes back to our primitive brain and how it works. I mean, we used to have to be safe at night, but in the morning when the sun came up, all those predators would go back. That were predators at night, we were protected. Now we're out and about. We have the sunshine, the nature, and that's, a lot of people don't get out and get grounded even. That's why that's a big step too for mental well-being, and that is get out in the sunshine, get your vitamin D from the sun and things of that nature.
We've been talking about sound, audio, but there's also research that shows audio visual brainwave entrainment has a positive effect on cognition and anxiety and psychomotor performance. So, what is the difference that the visual brings into it?
Well, the thing, what we found, and we've all had this experience, we've been at a lecture and we couldn't hear the lecture up front until we changed our gaze so we could actually see the person speaking. Then we could hear them. That's because our eyes are 30% of our hearing. And this is something I learned from the Neuro-Ophthalmology Research Association that I work with, that your eyes are part of how we hear and listen because it's part of our primitive network. If we heard everything that was going on around us, remember 25,000 pieces of information, our brain has to figure out what is most meaningful for us in our environment right now. And even though we've evolved, we have television sets, we have automobiles, we have the jet airplanes, our bodies are still pretty much the same they were in the Serengeti, whatever, 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 years ago. So we're still, what we look at, it's almost like a mic that only picks up where you're pointing that mic. Our eyes are that part of it. So when we add light to it, what happens is sound engages about 70% of the brain's receptors. But when you introduce light into the equation, you've actually engaged 100% of the brain's receptors, which means you're not going to use 100% of the brain at that moment, but all of the neurons light up and they're ready for action. And that means now we can exercise or create what we like to call brain fitness. We can get the brain working again. Usually what happens under a stressful environment is we close our eyes, we downregulate, we pretend it isn't there because the first thing isn't fight or flight. The first thing is the freeze response. So we're going to downregulate everything. And unfortunately, in our life that we have right now in the 21st century, people are having these stressed out events sometimes 3 and 4 times before breakfast. They get up right away, they start looking at their cell phone, they turn on the network news, whatever's going on, they get stressed out before they even start their day, and they don't have a chance because they haven't, I always recommend people get up, grab a glass of water, do a meditation, do some breathing exercises. You're back in a new space, a new place. You're different than you were yesterday, but people just rush through their life not acknowledging the newness of every opportunity. So what light, when you rehearse with light, also light is, we're photic beings. Now we get energy from sound too. We've all been at a party or at a dance, let's say, and we didn't really want to be there, but then they started playing music from our high school times or when we were growing up, all of a sudden we start tapping our feet and we want to move and dance. That's because sound and light and vibration are all converted by our body into energy. And they call it ATP in the body. But if we present light through closed eyelids to the brain and in the ears, we use the meridian points, we can deliver energy to the brain. And you need energy for the brain to transact information. Think of ATP as the currency of the body. If you don't have that currency, you can't heal. So what light does, it gives you more energy, more opportunity to improve brain function or nervous system function. And that comes through breath, and, you know, all the things that we do in combination, but light sets up the environment. And it's also taking one more piece of the equation of our senses, and it's basically educating the body. So you can use light in the way that we do here at BrainTap, but you can also use light. They have light pads you put around the body where you might need healing, because we now know that we're light beings.
Yes.
It's not a metaphor anymore. We are light. So if we give it the right light frequency, which happens to be between 470 nanometer light and 810 to maybe 860 nanometer light, that's the range of healing light. And there's a lot of different devices out there that are good for the body for different reasons, but they're showing that there's a lot more research about sound, because it only started in 1986 that we had LEDs that could be used in the mass market. Before that, they were too expensive for anybody to use. Now that we've been using it since the 80s, there's a lot more research out there about light. Of course, sound we've been using since the dawn of history. You know, the other in the Vedas, when I do a lot of work in India with the universities over there, and in the Vedas, they talk about Kronos therapy. And
yes,
one thing people don't know about is the reason that they exercise in the morning or they do Tai Chi or yoga. There's a couple reasons. One is that the melatonin levels and things like that are perfect for meditation at that point. But also, that's when the infrared light from the sun is hitting the planet the most. So we know now in brain research that we need infrared to heal the brain. So somehow they knew that 10,000 years ago when they wrote the Vedas. So it's like,
yes,
that's what I'm saying. Everything that we think we know today, I could go back in time and show you where it was in ancient traditions. We're just making it easier. That's why they call it biohacking, because we're now using our biology to hack our nervous system, or to hack our health system in our body.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area of research. We're going to take a short break now. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is award-winning author, speaker, neuroscience expert, and leader in the digital health and wellness field, Dr. Patrick Porter. And we're discussing the science of biohacking using digital tools and mind development and brainwave entrainment apps to help mental, physical, and emotional health issues. We'll be back with more from Dr. Patrick Porter after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Mental health. Most people think it means mental illness. Most people are wrong. Mental health doesn't apply to just some of us. It applies to everyone. We're all susceptible to anxiety and depression. They're human conditions. And no person should ever feel embarrassed, ashamed, or be discriminated against for being human. Cracked the Podcast strips away the shame, fear, and stigma by expanding the conversation into areas less often visited. From brain and body chemistry, hormones, food, nutrition, trauma, and the microbiome, to pharmaceutical drugs, psychedelic substances, meditation, visionary experiences, and spiritual awakenings. Cracked the Podcast will explore them all, including the notion that, for many, breakdown can be the beginning of breakthrough. For in the words of singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen, there is a crack in everything. It's where the light gets in. Cracked the Podcast, slaying the dragons of mental health. Join co-hosts Sandy Sedgbeer and Rebecca Shaper on the first and third Thursday of every month at 12 noon Eastern Time.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. Dr. Patrick Porter, you founded BrainTap with the goal of making this new technology accessible to everyone. Tell us more about BrainTap and the BrainTap headset.
Okay, the headset is it upregulates the experience from the app. We were talking about sound earlier. We know the sound gets great experiences. So, but if you want to add the light component, you'll need the headset. So what we've done is, like the binaurals work with the ears, we're using, it's like binaurals, but we're using the eyes. There's no scientific term for that other than retinal flashing, we call it. And so what we're doing with the ears, like if whatever sound we're putting in the right ear, we're putting the light in the left eye and vice versa. And what happens that while we're engaging the brain, we're retraining the brain to synchronize. And so we're synchronizing the brain, bringing it back into harmony. And what we show is that that actually helps to increase mood and improve sleep. And then we have all the side benefits that happen from that experience, like increased learning, better cognition. And so the headset itself is a tool that people can use at home. Now we use it in clinics too. We're all over the world. We're in 120 countries, but the main focus is in the United States where we're located. We have about 60 offices in the UK, but what they do is when a doctor comes in, let's say you're seeing your neurologist and they're working with your brain and they're helping your nervous system get online. There's something called Hebb's Law, which states those neurons that fire together wire together, and those neurons that fire apart tend to wire apart. So what we're going to do is we're going to train the brain to wire together in a synchronized manner. And what we found is that we have about a 72-hour halo effect from the treatment, if you will. But we can upregulate that. We had one of the science reports we did during 2020 with the National Institute of Health here in the United States was we showed that we could downregulate stress by 38.5% in one session. And then after 30 days, if they used the headset, they could get that result. That result they got in one session became their new baseline, which meant they operated on a daily basis with that improvement. We found with just the app alone, it took about 2 months. So you can still get there. It's just if you want to do it quickly and you want to do it efficiently, and if you have a problem like ADHD or dementia or suffering from Alzheimer's, you can use the light to accelerate that healing because it's going to bring that ATP production. It's going to bring vasodilation, blood flow, circulation, and that's what the brain needs. It needs nutrients to heal itself. It can do that. It's self-regulating and self-healing, but it needs the nutrients. It needs the oxygen, needs the blood, needs the nutrition. And that's what we're going to help do with the headset.
Well, I've been playing with your app all day, and you've got hundreds of different audios for different things that one can listen to. Can you use the headset in the same way? I mean, are the same audios available for use with the headset as well, or is that something separate?
No, the app, all the information that feeds the headset is actually encoded into that MP3 file you're listening to. It's just if you don't have the headset, it doesn't do anything. But it's encoded at a frequency that's beyond what you can hear consciously. But there's chips, they call them sniffer chips, that are hearing it, and that instructs the light to flash. And to give an example, if we wanted to turn off sympathetic drive, which would be the fight or flight response, we broadcast 197 hertz frequency with light into the ears. So even though the light looks like it's solid, it's actually flashing at 197 times per second. And the brain actually interprets that in the same way it would that binaural. So we're just basically taking all the principles from sound therapy, and we've incorporated them into light therapy. And what we find, the combination is light sound, and then that creates the vibration. When we talk about Noge frequencies or solfeggio frequencies, these are all bursts of light, sound, and vibration. So we're going to use that to tune up the body. The body works best if it has all of these frequencies. It's not just one frequency. It needs, just like brain waves, some people think meditation is the solution to every problem, but you can't meditate all the time. You've got to get up and do something at some point. We don't believe there's any one brain wave that's any more important than any other. They're more state dependent. If we're sleeping, we want to have high delta. If we're basically doing a physical activity, we want to have high beta, but we want to be able to regulate those brain waves. And what happens to most people is they don't know how to regulate their brain waves. So we teach people how to do that.
So if somebody uses your app and they become, you know, they use it frequently and they, you know, find that it benefits them in a number of different ways, do they need to continue to use the app, or is this something that then somehow they've learned certain techniques that the body would and brain would take over for itself?
Well, yeah, you can, but we have to remember that unless you live in a stress-free environment where you're not going to dysregulate again, you're going to have to do something. So you're going to have to use, what we find is we usually teach people or instruct people to do yoga, Tai Chi, or dance, because our bodies are designed to move and breathe. And most people don't know this, but yoga was created basically to prepare the brain for meditation. But now there's a big movement out there. Of course, there's a yoga studio on every corner here in the United States, yeah. And they think of it as physical fitness. It was really just to get the body ready to meditate. You know, and then a lot of people don't do the sannyasana at the end of the yoga session. They just jump off their mat and go do about their business. They wasted all that energy.
Yeah.
So it's all about moving the energy, and the whole purpose is to bring well-being to the body. And the brain, being the control center of the body, needs that time to regulate. So what we find is that some people will use it all the time, but if you own it, then you just use it when you want. We find that once you get the brain in the state you want, as long as you do it once or twice a week, you're going to maintain that balance. But some people, of course, we did a study with autism, and we showed that we got 23% more alpha. And the reason that's important is we found that autistic children are missing or lacking alpha activity, which means they can't speak. So as soon as we increase their alpha activity, they begin to speak. And they're going, what did you do? Well, it's like having a Wi-Fi network, but you don't have the password. So they can't speak. It doesn't engage the system. But as soon as that alpha is going, they can speak again. So they said, well, how long does that last? You know, do these kids have to do it for the rest of their life? And we said, well, let's do an experiment. So we did it it was a 6-week trial. At the end of 6 weeks, they didn't do the brain tap. And we measured, they had a 23% improvement of alpha. They're doing great. The parents did not want them to stop. You know, they were seeing improvement. You can only get so much improvement, you know, physiologically. But then 6 weeks later, we went back and measured them. They still had 23% alpha. So once the brain learns the brainwave activity, it will maintain it. And what we told them to do was to teach them some the body scan technique when they're going to sleep and some breathing exercises. So you have to do something. It's not like you're going to just, you can't go about stressed out and, you know, what got you in trouble in the first place and think you're going to now somehow magically remain balanced. You know, you're going to have to make a shift somewhere. So you have to learn some kind of meditation or some kind of physical activity that's going to keep your nervous system engaged in a healthy way.
Mm. Is there an optimal, amount of time that you can spend on this? I mean, can you overdo it?
You can't really overdo it, but we find is more than 3 times a day, you don't get a neurological benefit. It's like filling a cup of water. You know, it's only going to fill so much. You can't overfill it. You know, it's going to run out all over, so the body's not going to accept that energy. And it could for some people give them too much energy, so then they wouldn't be able to sleep at night. So what we tell them is 3 times a day to begin with for the first 21 days to get the body balanced. Then after that, you pick the time of the day that works best for you. We have morning sessions we call digital coffee. This is a brainwave called SMR. As we get better looking and more intelligent with age, that's the part of our brain that actually atrophies. So that's the part that has to do with cognition. It also has to do with balance. We did a study where we took a group of people 55, 65 years old that had balance issues. Without teaching them any physical exercise, we taught them to meditate in SMR frequencies, and they improved their balance by over 45%. So we were proving that balance isn't a physical thing. It's a mental thing. It's a brain thing. So what we do is we have, and then in the afternoon, what we found is every person on the planet, we're all tuned to the light of the sun. So our sun tells our body what to do because of light frequencies. So at 2 o'clock every afternoon, wherever you're at in your hometown, your temperature is going to drop 2 degrees. That's telling your body it's time for a nap. You know, in the Serengeti, we used to take a nap with like all the other animals when it was so hot out. So our bodies our genetic program is to take a nap. But what do? We go have tea, or we go have coffee, or we go have sugar, and that stimulates the body. What we show is that if you do a 20-minute reboot session, you now can reclaim over 80% of the energy you had in the morning. So in essence, you get two mornings. And that's really powerful. And then in the evening, some people that don't sleep well, they have dysregulated brains. So when they go to sleep, the anxiety, the stress, the fear, that starts to set in. And of course, they can't sleep. So we have sessions that train the brain to balance before sleep and taking them into delta, which is the brain wave associated with the deep levels of restorative sleep. And they know if you don't get 2 hours of sleep, you don't detoxify the brain. One of the discoveries here in the last 10 years is the discovery of the glia lymphomic system, which is the lymph system of the brain. It's only activated during these deep levels of sleep. So you'll have brain fog and all sorts of cognition issues if you don't get that sleep, because your brain hasn't detoxed. And so we need to get people to be sleeping again, and not the amount of sleep. That's a misnomer people have. We do need about 4 hours of sleep if you were super efficient. That's what our government has proved with our military. But that's when you're 20 years old, you know, 18 to 21 years old, you're at war. They know you can survive on 4 hours. But the reality is that most people need between 6 and 8 hours of sleep so they can get that sleep cycle, because it doesn't all happen at once. It happens over time.
Yeah.
So you get a little burst here. They call it a microburst. When that microburst happens, you release those toxins, your body takes care of it, then you go through the cycle again, then you get another microburst. So, you know, over time, the more stressed you are, the more clogged your brain is. And there's actually something called a brain biome now, like the gut biome. And I like to make sure everyone understands there's three brains we're talking about. When I say brain, I'm not just talking about the brain in our head. We have 4,000 neutrino cells in our heart. We have a heart brain. That's the one that controls the whole system. I love when the Maharishi was being tested. He said, "Why do you have me hooked up in my brain up here, you know, in my head?" He says, "I live here," and he pointed at his heart. Because that's where the intelligence is. That's, you know, there's more heart attacks on Monday morning than any other day of the week, because your heart brain controls the whole system. It's the orchestra leader. And that's why heart rate variability has become so profound. But they also know, like our gut biome, we have a thinking gut. We have a thinking immune system is a better way to put it. That's why psychoimmunology is so important. Those people that are positive, optimistic, that meditate, that visualize world peace and harmony, their body becomes that, because whatever you think about, you bring about, and that's because whatever happens through you happens to you. So while you're praying and you're meditating, or you're bringing energy into your environment, that energy has to pass through you first. So you heal yourself by doing those things.
Now, of course, having so many people suffered so much anxiety, depression, fear, goodness knows what else, loneliness during COVID, what would you recommend people to help deal with some of that anxiety and stress if they didn't have access to your app?
There's two different breathing techniques I think every person on earth should learn in first grade or kindergarten, if you have that in your schools. One is called box breathing. And the reason for that is we need to train our nervous system. As I said earlier, our nervous system gets locked. Our brain loves patterns. So if we have the pattern of stress, anxiety, and fear, it thinks we want that. It doesn't discern we think on a conscious level that our brain thinks like we do. No, our brain basically just does. They say that the brain is a great servant, but a terrible master. So people are letting their nervous system run the show when you're not your body. You're not your brain. You're the infinite energy that animates it all. But some people give away their power to the mundane. But breath has it. In the breath is not just oxygen. There's something that I'm sure your listeners know called prana. That energy, that life force is there. And what the mystics will tell you is the next piece of information you need is in your next breath. So as you learn to breathe correctly, you're actually getting instruction from the universe. We're on a need-to-know basis from the universe, and it's connected to our breath. So if you learn box breathing first, which is you breathe in, and you can start with the mental count of four, you hold that for the mental count of four, you breathe out for the mental count of four, then you just hold that breath out for four, and you continue that box breathing for maybe 5 minutes. That's going to change your mood like you wouldn't believe, because all negative emotions have one thing in common. Think of fear, anxiety, depression. All negative emotions have one key thing: lack of breathing. We've all had the experience, and since you have grandchildren, you know, when they get upset, you say, just breathe, right? Well, they'll get more upset. Yes. Because but as soon as they breathe, the anger goes away.
Yeah.
Because all of this is energy in motion, and all negative emotion is energy that's not in motion. And if we put too much energy through a light bulb, it's going to burn out the filament. If we have too much energy in our body, it's going to burn out our own, if you want to call it spiritual or energy centers of our body. So the one that's the easiest to do that we teach the children, and a lot of adults use it too, as soon as you start to feel, there's two things you can do here. I'm first going to teach you the breathing, then I'll teach the second part. What you do is you want to breathe into the mental count of four. That's going to upregulate your sympathetic. So you might feel a little fear. You might feel a little anxiety. That's okay. You want to acknowledge it. The worst thing you can do is deny those feelings, because they'll fester, and they'll show up in places you don't want them to. So you give them expression, but then you breathe out to the mental count of eight. You simply let them go. When you breathe out to the mental count of eight, you're engaging the parasympathetic system. So you're exercising your nervous system. And that's what breathing does. So as you breathe out, the mental count of eight, you connect that breath. They call it a connected breath. Now, there's hundreds of what they call pranayamas, but they're all good. But these are the two that we found are the easiest for people to use. And when you're in stress, if you're really stressed or worried or anxious about something, while you're doing either of these breathing techniques, think about what you're stressed about and roll your eyes to the right three or four times, then roll your eyes to the left three or four times. Evaluate where that went. Because while you're doing the breathing and moving your eyes, which you study some NLP and some of the other techniques, the eyes are not just brain. They're not just connected to the brain. They are brain matter. So what you're doing is you're moving the nervous system. 70% of your nervous system is in your brain. So the eyes can actually direct information flow through the body. Like we know when we look up, there's visual images. To the side, there's auditory messages. When we look down, it's kinesthetic. Yeah. Now, that's not a hard, fast rule for everybody on the planet, but it's a pretty good template to run from. And so what we're going to do is we're going to teach the brain to store, categorize, and organize that information more efficiently, because no one was taught how to process their day. So what I teach people to do, and this will make sense to you because of your background, but most people don't know this, is every day and there's something about gratitude, right? They know that there's healing gratitude. All the research they've done with the monks is if they get into their gratitude, they can get gamma waves up to 100. Some have actually said they've gotten over 200 hertz frequency from a monk's brain while they're in their gratitude prayer. Because when we're grateful and we have this expanded state of consciousness, our brain starts to self-regulate. But when we're in a state of fear and anxiety and depression, now, the pictures are worth 1,000 words, they say. So if you have an image, if you do this daily, it's easier than waiting for it all to fester. So daily, what I teach people to do when they go to bed, while you're laying in bed doing these breathing exercises, if a thought comes into your head and it's a positive thought, make it a little bit brighter. Step into it. Experience it. Allow that joy. Allow that love. Allow that, whatever that emotion is that was part of that positive experience. Now, if a negative emotion or a negative memory comes into your mind, that's fine too, but you use a little technique we call submodality shifting, where you take a black and white snapshot of it, you put it behind you, and you start to think about what you could have done differently, but not from a perspective of shame, guilt, or resentment, but just, hey, if I had it to do over again, if I was the script writer of my life, what would I have liked to have said, done, or experienced? And then you play out the alternative because our subconscious doesn't know the difference between real or imagined. And,
correct.
And so that's a key thing that people can learn.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me, if people are interested in downloading your app, which is free, what do they then need to do?
Well, they just need to have either a Kindle or a Apple or an Android device. And they download that down, and then there's actually a Get Started folder. So they can, once they download that, when they go to braintap.info, they can download that. It's free. They don't have to put a credit card in or anything. And they also can get a copy of my book, Thrive in Overdrive, for free that they can keep. If they want to continue on, then there's choices there that they can make up to from $10 to $30. But that's up to them if they want to do that. And there's also a freemium model. So once they do that, there's always going to be sessions available because we want everyone to be able to benefit. Now, they won't get access to the 1,300 sessions like you're seeing, but they will get access to sessions every month that can help their well-being and help them to live a better life.
And this is apparently brilliant for people who are suffering from trauma and PTSD as well.
Yeah, well, what happens is the brain starts to confuse the information. So like when a traumatic experience happens, it overloads the senses and we can't make sense of it. So the brain just says, okay, we're going to deal with that later. Now, if a series of those hit back to back, you have this like massive information that you've got to sort through. So once you learn to sort through it, you organize, just like for those that know about computers, we used to have to defrag our computers because the file accessing system wasn't working right. Well, our brains aren't quite like that, but they're very similar. We have to defrag or organize our thoughts in a way that we get the meaningful information when we need it. Instead of just letting life happen to us, it then begins to happen through us, which is the key to the flow state and a state of peace and love and harmony and gratitude.
Have you done any studies with people with Alzheimer's or dementia?
Yes. Actually, I'm hosting the Alzheimer's Recovery Summit here in August. We've interviewed a number of people, and one of the research projects we did, we took women 55, 65, all diagnosed with dementia, all tested with the Cambridge Science Dementia Test. These people had dementia. So we put them on a six-week protocol of three times a day brain tap. At the end of that study, they had 49% neuroplasticity, which means they had faster brains. Mm-hmm. They no longer scored as dementia. Their doctors said if they would have came to them 6 weeks before that, they wouldn't have diagnosed them with dementia. But the most incredible part of that study was the reorganization score. When somebody gets in a stressful experience, how quickly can they go back to balance? We all know people as they get dementia or anxiety or Alzheimer's that they're not able to get back to normal. They get dysregulated and they're upset from the morning to night and might even go to the next day. So we improved that by 58% in 6 weeks. And they can continue to improve. We actually did a case study with a 102-year-old woman just to see if her brain would change. And we were able to get her nervous system to upregulate by over 40% in 6 weeks. So a brain can improve at any age. There's no age you can't improve your brain. That's the most vital organ that we have. So your body is designed to heal the brain and improve it. We just have to give it the right environment, the right nutrients, the right experiences.
This is my kind of medicine. I'm afraid we're almost out of time now. So if you would just tell people where they can go to learn more and to get your free book, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, they can. If they go to braintap.info, they don't need their credit card. Just go in there, you put your name and your email address. You'll go ahead and get a download. It'll go to your email. You'll download the app. You can start playing with it for 15 days at no cost. And then it'll turn into a freemium app if you don't do anything. And then you'll also be able to download my book, Thrive in Overdrive. And then if you want to follow us, of course, on social media, you can follow at BrainTap Tech or at Dr. Patrick Porter, at Dr. Patrick Porter. And you can follow us, what we're doing and our discoveries. They can also, if they're interested in research, because we talked a little bit about that today, they can go to braintapresearch.com and learn all about the studies we're doing. We're doing some fantastic stuff, and right now 12 different universities around the world are doing studies at this moment.
Wow. I love the fact that we have the means to start healing ourselves in our hands, in our ears, and in our eyes.
Yes, it's a great time to be alive. I mean, there's a stress caused from this environment we live in, but there's also a solution, and we can have. It's the best time to be alive, I feel. You know, we have so many things that we should be grateful for, but we have to focus on the right things.
Absolutely. Dr. Patrick Porter, thank you so much for joining me today. I am hooked on your app.
That's great. I appreciate you having me as a guest.
Ah, thank you. Come back again and tell us when you've got some more research to share.
Sure, we'll do that for sure.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Thank you for your company. I'll be back at the same time next week with another edition of What Is Going On. And in the meantime, don't forget, you can go to braintap.com, braintap.info, braintap research, and learn a lot more.